Along with all those mentioned, we're sure glad to see everyone here today. Amen? But Dave pointed out those who have been going through some serious physical issues, and so we are glad to see the Lord's hand of grace at work. Miss Ellen also, who was in just excruciating pain, and the Lord's healing hand has just gone to work again. And so, Ben, you know that I didn't really submit any chili. So, you know, I wanted to spare you that today. Now, your middle name isn't Susie, is it? I mean, there's two Susies on, you know, never mind, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Boy, we needed an instrument radar to get out this morning. We had about a 3-foot ceiling with a two feet visibility, and it was pretty foggy up there today. So we were very glad to get out this morning. I couldn't believe how foggy it was. Does anyone need a Bible this morning? Just want to raise your hand. No, everybody's good. One up here. Miss Kat would like one. Anybody else? Up. Miss Ellen would like one. Not a problem. Probably have this scripture memorized, the 23rd Psalm. We are still working our way through the 23rd Psalm. It seems we have a couple of times that we just can't keep the consistency going. We've had some great time, though. Pastor Dennis from High Desert was here last week, and what a blessing to have him share with us and challenge us. And so, you know, we take advantage of these times, but we are working our way through the 23rd Psalm, so if you'd just turn to the 23rd Psalm. And we'll just do a little review of the first three verses that we have already looked at. As David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd," that is Jehovah Reah. You may have heard of Jehovah Jireh, he is my provider. Jehovah Shalom, God is my peace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, you know that one? Jehovah Tsidkenu, he's my banner. He is my banner. But David says, "The Lord God is my shepherd." That's what it, Jehovah Reah. And I think one of the most important truths that David would convey just through those simple words is, though God is our shepherd, he is in no way aloof to or removed from his creation, but he is watching out for you, the sheep of his pasture and the people of his hand. Amen? And so David says, "I shall not want." He recognizes that God has provided, his shepherd has provided for him in all of his needs. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He's provided a comfort zone for us. And I think this is most importantly, spiritually and emotionally. He has provided a comfort zone, a place of rest for us, a place of sanctuary. And I believe that David has come to know that this place of sanctuary is wherever the shepherd leads. Amen? That's a place where we can really take rest. And then he said, "He restores my soul." You know, for us, when we're weak in spirit, when we're weary in the inner man, and our faith is being tested and tried, we get tired along the journey. He knows. He's aware of it. And he will do whatever is necessary to refresh and to restore us to a place of quiet rest. And he says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then David writes, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Now, this is so important. He leads, we follow. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We are not driven as his sheep, but we are led by the good shepherd as his sheep. And so the important thing for us in this, I believe, is obedience. Just to follow wherever he leads and to trust him, even when the world might seem to be going against us or when it seems we're all alone in making a stand for truth and righteousness in this world. In Ephesians chapter 10, the apostle Paul would tell us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And so the shepherd is provided for us to put on the whole armor of God that we are able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Paul also writes in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, "Whatever we do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God our Father through him." And so we follow the good shepherd wherever he is leading. And so the word has to be applied into our lives. It has to be put into practice in our lives through obedience for us to know and experience all of the goodness of our good shepherd. And now it's here that we come to what I call a transitional verse, but maybe the nitty-gritty of this psalm when it comes to our walk of faith as believers who are following the good shepherd. Let's pray. Father, we ask that in the moments that we have, Lord, to just look at this verse this morning, Lord, in this wonderful, beautiful psalm, this psalm of encouragement, this psalm that just really ministers to us in our walk of faith. I pray, God, that everyone here, everyone who is listening today on the internet as well, Lord, I pray, God, that if they know you, Lord, that they would know that their walk of faith is sure because you know where you're going. You know where you are leading us. And that we would just stay close to you and follow you. And for any, Lord, who do not know you, who have not come into that relationship with you through faith, Lord, I pray today that they would give thought to their eternal destiny, Lord, as we look at the verse that is before us today. Minister to our hearts, God. Encourage us, God. Give us a peace that passes all understanding. And may, Lord, we just stay close to you, our good shepherd, through our walk of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've come to this verse, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The sheep have been out for days, maybe weeks. They've been out for a very long time, and now they're being led back to their home pasture. It's the end of the day. It's getting near the end of the journey, however long it may have been. But in many ways, it is the most difficult because of fatigue and just being anxious and being in a hurry. And I think that we would all maybe agree that when we are anxious and when we are in a hurry, we can make mistakes because danger is lurking along the way. And so it's important to be very careful. And so the question that comes to mind here is when we look at this from our perspective, and there are a couple of ways that we will be looking at this. We'll get this week one perspective, and then next week we'll take on another perspective. But either way, it's a walk of faith. Our walk of faith, when we come to this verse, is that which is in view. Am I? This is the question we have to ask. Am I trusting the good shepherd to lead me? Am I trusting him on this part of the journey? Because this part of the journey has a very significant way of testing our faith to its limit. One might say it's where, I was going to say the hooves meet the path, but I think it's where the rubber meets the road. You know what I mean? It's where the rubber meets the road. There's certainly one way to look at this, and it might seem to be the most obvious, is when we come to that place in life when we're making the transition from our earthly life to eternal life. Our good shepherd has proven his love for us. He has shown his care for us, his protection and his provision for us. And he's guided us through many, many difficult and trying times. But now we come to this place in the road that we've never traveled before. And still we must know that he's not going to lead us astray. Though the twilight of night is closing in, though it's dark and truthfully it's a little scary, the pathway seems to be very narrow, he is leading. He knows the way and he knows where he is going. But it's here that we really see the confidence and the extent of the trust that the sheep have to the shepherd. He's led them out, and now he's leading them back home. And on this part of the journey, there is no looking back. There is no turning back. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 come to mind. And it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. All that we know to be true of the Good Shepherd, all of the promises that he has made to us to get home safely, they all come down to the walk through this valley. And so David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. At this time and at this point, personal experience with the shepherd really becomes an issue, a vitally important issue. All that we've been through in life brings us to this part of the journey. We've experienced trials. We've experienced testings. There's been frustrations in our life and temptations. We've experienced successes and we've experienced failures. There have been tears of joy and tears of sorrow. We know what loneliness is. But the Good Shepherd has guided us through them all. He's kept us and he's sustained us through it all, even when doubt overwhelmed us and we were discouraged, even so much so that maybe we just wanted to quit. We didn't want to go on. But we wanted to go our own way because it seemed like a more comfortable option, if you will, than to follow the Good Shepherd through this valley. And so we need to stay close to him. We need to stay close to him who is the Good Shepherd, who is watching for us, who all along the way, the journey of life that we have traveled, he has proven himself to be faithful, to guide us and to watch over us and to protect us. Now, if we're honest, we'd say that this walk has been good. For the most part, it's been good. And that the journey has been fruitful. And truly, we have experienced life. And that more abundantly. You know, all we have to do is to really look around at the rest of the world and see the difficulties that they go through. And that we here in America, you know, we have really experienced a good life here in America. But nevertheless, that valley still is out there. And nevertheless, we still must stay close to the shepherd, the Good Shepherd, and follow him as he leads. So in the big picture, we see this verse is getting us from this earthly life to our heavenly home. Certainly, this is part of the application. And though our heavenly home is a place where we long to go. This is one of the reasons that we gave our life to Jesus Christ, that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And so we gave our life to him. We surrendered our life to him. We came to him in faith, believing those words. But it's interesting, when faced with the reality of going home, it can create a dilemma. The Apostle Paul, at one point in his life, in Philippians chapter 1, in writing to the church at Philippi, said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, but I'm hard-pressed between the two. And there was a struggle that was going on. And it could be that struggle that goes on in our hearts and our lives as well. Because oftentimes, well, the fear that one might have, the uncharted territory that one must go through, can overwhelm us. But we must be reminded, he knows the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. You know, I've talked to many people who have been at that place in their life where they have gone through, or they were about to go through that valley. And some are as peaceful and as quiet and as you know, as comfortable as can be. In others, there is that anxiety. It's natural because it is uncharted territory. But Jesus knows the way. Amen? He knows the way. And we've trusted him this far. I remember standing at the grave of my father once with my mother, who had not passed away yet, and she looked down at the tombstone, and she saw that my dad had a date, and then there was a dash, and then there was another date. And then she saw her gravestone, which was already in place, and it had a date and a dash, but it didn't have the other date. And she was concerned about that. Why? I said, "You're still on the journey, Mom." She was still on the journey. But it is uncharted territory. And so it's at this point in time that we must have complete and absolute confidence and trust in our good shepherd, where our faith must be acted upon beyond any shadow of doubt, because we all must go through the valley of the shadow of death. Because through this valley, through physical death, is the doorway that leads into eternity. Now, I hope that we notice that David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." There's no lingering here. This is not a permanent place for us to dwell. At this point, it's straight ahead. And for the believer, it does. It leads to our heavenly home, into the very presence of God. And for each of us, should the Lord tarry, should we not be raptured, we will experience this valley, as dark as it may be. But on the other side is the light of his glory. Now, I should state here that this valley is not very comforting for the non-believer. Because for the non-believer, this passageway that leads into eternity simply gets darker and darker and darker along the way, leading to eternal separation from God and everlasting torment and eternal darkness. I don't know about you, but I've given thought to that as well. I've given thought to my life and what it would have been like to have gone through this valley before I knew Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior. And I want you to know, it terrifies me today to think of an eternity separated from God. It terrifies me today to think that I could have crossed that line into eternity not knowing Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and had entered into an eternity of darkness, of eternal darkness, separated from him. But for us, the light of his glory. For us, it's also a place of eternal rest from our weary soul. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, and John writes, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them." So it's a place of rest for us. It's not a place of anxiety anymore. It's not a place of frustration. It's not a place of the weights that can happen in this world of doubt and discouragement. It's a place of rest, eternal rest. And so he says that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. And so this is the passageway through which one must pass into eternal life. Now, one other thought here. In his commentary, F.B. Meyer, I don't know if any of you have ever read F.B. Meyer, a great commentator of a century ago, he commented on the significance of the word shadow. And he said, "A shadow can be a scary thing, but it's simply an image of the substance." And so he went on to say, Christ meant the substance. And when we come to this place in the valley, we encounter but the shadow. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 tell us that at the cross, our Lord and Savior, our Shepherd, Jesus Christ, destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and he has delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And so you see, there should be maybe not quite that apprehension, maybe not quite that anxiety, even though it is uncharted territory that we are going through. But we know that at the cross, our Lord destroyed him who had the power of death. And held it over, he holds it over mankind's head to make it appear that it is really the most fearful thing that we will ever experience in life. But he says that our good shepherd has delivered them through fear of death, that were all their lifetime subject to this bondage, who have been held into bondage by it. Christ defeated our enemy. Amen. And he would hold death over us, but we see now he is a shadow of what he once was. And we who have been born again, and we who belong to the family of God and the flock of the good shepherd, cannot be harmed by the sting of death. Paul writes in Corinthians, "Where is your sting, O death? Where is that sting?" No, we don't need to fear. And we need to trust. You see what I said when I began? This is about faith. This is about confidence. This is about trust. This is about knowing who you are as a believer in Jesus Christ. And this is about trusting him not only with that little dash in between those two dates, but trusting him when we move on and when we cross that line into eternity. Yes, the light will soon dispel the darkness, and you can't have a shadow unless there's a bright light shining somewhere, and God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. And so the shadow is temporary, the light is eternal. And so with confidence, David writes, "I will fear no evil." How can he say that? I will fear no evil. Well, the next line says, "For you are with me." And that's what we need to know, that our good shepherd is with us every step of the way. Now, the truth is, he's been with us all along, hasn't he? Not only when we come to this valley in the shadow of death, but he has been with us all along on all of our life's journey, and through all the valleys and the mountaintops that we have experienced. And next week, I'm going to talk about other ways of application, but I want to continue here for a minute. Because Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 does tell us that the good shepherd will never leave us or forsake us. That was pretty calm. Amen. He won't leave us or forsake us. You know, years ago, I had a neighbor. Whoa. Whoa. Maybe I shouldn't talk about this. I won't use names. I won't expose him. I won't expose who this neighbor was. But I found out later that he was the pastor of a cult in Boulder. And he had asked us when we moved into our house if we wanted to join him for a Bible study. And there was some quench in my spirit, just a quench in my spirit that said, no, don't even, don't mess with this guy. Just Don't get involved. But you probably remember the chaos that surrounded Y2K. Remember that? Man, there was chaos. People were frightened. They were sure that it was the end of the world. Food was being stockpiled, and everything was just chaotic. And I don't know what's going on right now, because something is chaotic going on with my little guy here too. But we had planned a trip. We'd planned a trip to Israel during this time. And many people backed out of that trip because of the fear. They didn't want to leave the country, you know, when Y2K, the turn of the century, the turn of the century was coming. And people just, they didn't want to leave any place. Not so with this guy. He headed to Canada. He left his church. He left his flock. There was actually an article in the Boulder paper about him leaving and going to Canada, leaving his church and going to Canada. Now, I don't know what he thought he was going to escape simply by going to Canada. I mean, Canada's not immune, wasn't immune from Y2K either, you know? I mean, it was going to be worldwide. Anyway, Jesus will never abandon you. He will never abandon you. He's proven that on the cross. And during the deepest and the darkest time in his earthly life, just before he would go to Calvary, where he, the Lamb of God, would become the sacrifice for our sins, you remember in the Garden of Eden, he prayed to the Father, "If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." We might ask if there was any other way for what? Any other way for what? Well, for our salvation. If there was any other way that man could be saved from his sin. If we were to have any hope of eternity and getting to our heavenly home in the presence of God, it would be through his work at the cross. And our good shepherd was committed to making the way sure for us. And so, trusting him, we follow his leading. And it is a walk of faith. It is a walk of faith. But the Bible teaches us that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so we follow him. We follow him who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me." We trust him to get us to our heavenly home as he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death, knowing that beyond is our eternal home. Our eternal home. And so the question is this morning, as you journey through life, or as you who are listening today on the internet journey through this life, is Jesus leading you? Do you know him in an intimate and personal way as one of his sheep? Is he leading you? Is he the good shepherd of your life who will never leave you nor forsake you, even in the darkest and deepest of times that try us? He's there. Are you one of his sheep? Are you one of the sheep of his hand being led into eternity into the presence of God? It is a walk of faith. Our whole life is a walk of faith. People put their faith in many different things. Some people put their faith in money. Some put their faith in their health. They put their faith in their job. They put their faith in so many different things. But there is an eternity out there that is awaiting us. And so it's by faith that we believe. Some put their faith in other religions or other religious figures. But we put our faith in the one who said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." And no one comes to the Father. No one comes to the Father but through me. You can't buy your way into eternity. You can't work your way into eternity. It comes by humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God and recognizing that only through him and faith in him and trusting in him will we ever awake from that sleep of death, as we would go through the valley and our eyes would open and we would see the light of God's glory. It is a walk of faith. What other option is there? Proverbs 16:25 tells us there's a way that seems right unto a man. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but its end is the way of death. And so we must think about that. That death is eternal death. That death is separation from God for all eternity. And in my walk of faith, I've chosen to follow Jesus, the Good Shepherd, into life eternal through faith in him. If I'm not raptured, I know that I must go through this valley of the shadow of death to reach my eternal home. And so I follow him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. How about you? I don't know everyone here today. We are going to quit now. I was going to go on. But I think just looking at this one aspect of it was enough for today, because we do have communion. Communion is that time when we, you know, I believe that it's the highest form of worship that we can give. Jesus said, you know, to remember his death until he comes. And so I believe that as we partake of the communion table today, that it's important that we do remember that our God is alive. Amen. He's living. He is seated at the right hand of the Father today. And I'll tell you what, he's waiting. He sees what's going on down here, and he's waiting for the Father to say, now. Now is the time, and we will be raptured in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to be caught up, to be together with him in the air. Forever and ever and ever and ever. How long? Does that bring comfort to your soul today? If it doesn't, I want you to know this is not the end of the line. This isn't the end of life. There is life eternal. And life eternal is the hope that we have of being in the presence of God today. And so we are reminded by the communion elements that our God is alive, that bread that is broken is a reminder of his body, that our God came from heaven's glory. God the Son of God, came from heaven's glory to this earth to walk among us, to die for us. Amen. And that when he was nailed to that cross, he died, no doubt. His blood was shed upon that cross, and he died, and they buried him in a tomb, and that tomb is empty today. I've been there a few times, several times, and it's still empty. It's empty every time I go, because he is risen. There's even a little sign that says, he's not here, he's risen, just like it says in the Word. Just like it says in the Word. But we know he's coming again, don't we? We know that. Why? This is the living Word. This is the living Word of God. And so we know that he's coming again to receive unto himself those that love him. Those who are born again. Those who have surrendered their life to him. And so we worship him today. We worship a living God, not a dead God. He's alive. And we worship him today. And so we must trust that he is going to lead us through that valley. Whenever we get to that part of the journey in our life, maybe we'll all get to that part together, you know, and be raptured, but maybe not. Maybe we will have to experience going through that valley. But David said, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And this is the hope of every believer. And I hope that everyone in this room today, I hope everyone in this room today knows Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, as the good shepherd of their life. I think I know most everybody in this room, not everybody, but most everybody. But we always give an invitation. I once neglected to give an invitation, and the week following that I didn't give the invitation, a guy came up to me in church. This was many years ago. He came up to me and said, you didn't give an invitation last week. I so wanted to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. He didn't know, basically, you know, that all he has to do is get on his knees and open his heart. But he thought it had to be done in a formal way. But we give that invitation so that one might know. We give it so that you might know, who are listening on the internet today, that Jesus loves you. And when he went to the cross at Calvary, that was a demonstration of his love and his grace. That when we cross that line into eternity, having gone through that valley of the shadow of death, there he is. There he is. So if you've never opened your heart to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know, the Bible also talks to us about what we're about to experience here in celebrating a communion, which means to have fellowship, which means to be a part of, you know, a oneness, and we share that oneness with Him. And so the Bible is very clear. This is, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that it's not really anything that you should partake of. Now, believers know that. And why do we say that? It's not to keep anyone away, but it means nothing. It simply means absolutely nothing if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because it's His body that we're remembering, His life when He came to earth, and His blood that was shed. And if you don't have that identity with Christ as your Lord and Savior, then it means nothing, and you're making a mockery of it, is what the Scripture says. And so today, if you haven't opened your heart to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to say a prayer. And we're going to ask that today would be the day. That there wouldn't be another day that would go by that you would live your life without Jesus Christ being your Lord and being your Savior. So let's pray as we prepare to partake of the communion table. Father in heaven, we love you. Lord, thank you that you have prepared for us every step of the way in this life and in leading into the life that comes after this life, Lord. Father, I pray that we would have a peace that passes understanding. I pray, Lord, that we would be walking so closely with you, Jesus, our good shepherd, that we would not in any way doubt the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. And I pray, God, that we would just stay close to you as you navigate us through this life, Lord, into eternal life. And so, Lord, our hope, Lord, rests in you. We trust you. We believe in you. And Father, I pray that if there are any in our midst today who have never come to that place, God, of saving faith, I pray today, Lord, that they would open their heart. Open their heart to receive you today. A step of faith. They would say, yes, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I ask for forgiveness of my sin. I ask that you would forgive me. And I know that I would be forgiven because of the work that you did when you went to Calvary 2,000 years ago. When you were nailed to that cross and your blood was shed. I don't know everything there is to know. I don't know everything there is certainly about this walk and in my life. But I know today I need someone to lead. I know today I can't go on any longer leading my own way. I keep running into brick walls and stumbling around. And I want to follow you. Today, I want to follow you. Today, I want you and ask you to be the Lord of my life and my Savior. And I ask that in faith as I ask for forgiveness of my sins. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Thank you, Jesus, for that work that you did 2,000 years ago at Calvary. Thank you, for it's in your name I pray. If you prayed that prayer this morning, after the service, over here on the right side, my left, your right, if you just come up, so we can help you get started on your walk, on your journey. You know, and I'm going to tell you something. Along the way, you're going to learn every day. You're never going to be a know-it-all. It's always going to be a challenge. It's always going to be, you know, another place where we're asked to trust the Lord with all of our heart and lean not unto our own understanding, but in all of our ways to acknowledge Him, knowing He will direct our paths. There's going to come that place always in our life, not just as we're approaching the valley of the shadow of death, but as we'll see in other ways next week, we'll see there's other ways as well. But there's always going to be a place to challenge us in our faith. And so today we just want to worship our Lord and Savior. We want to give honor to Him. We want to glorify Him. And if you prayed that prayer today, if you asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life and your Savior, after the service today, please come up to the front because there'll be someone here to talk to you about that decision that you made in your life. In the meantime, let's just continue in an attitude of worship, in an attitude of prayer, as we just look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and worship Him.